Frieda Adams, right? Yes,
that's correct.
I'm so happy that you're here.
Thank you to talk
with me today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes, and we're here today in Las Cruces at Border Servants Corps Asylum Shelter. Okay. I want to hear about you, but first let's warm up by you telling me about the shelter, how long it's been here, what's happening these days with the shelter.
So the shelter, Border Servant Corps Shelter, BSC Shelter, as we affectionately call it now, its current location, we've been here about maybe June of last year. But Border Servant Corps has had a shelter in operation for several years as what we now call the good old days, back when we had very, very small numbers and we just were doing these kind of work in churches. The Peace Lutheran Church was hosted this, and Border Servant Corps is an arm of the Lutheran Church. So they were, you know, receiving 8, 10, 12 people once every 2 weeks, once every week then, and then things just kept building and stuff. So most of the churches, we had like, when I came into the picture, we had like 13 churches in the area, just in the Las Cruces and Doniana County area that were doing this kind of work, but it was small.
And the work was to shelter people who had come across the border. They were seeking asylum. They were trying to get to their sponsors.
Right.
And just needed a safe place to land to get to the next step.
They had been processed by the federal authorities, given them immigration papers, just like it is today, permission to travel, permission to be here, travel to their sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
It's not permission to go to Disney World. It's permission to go to their sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their identification and gets them, you know, permission to travel. Not be a problem. So they are brought in like that, and they do have legal papers and an appointment for their hearing to start working on their case. So that's the way it's supposed to work when everything's going well, and that's the way it traditionally works. So like Border Servant Corps leased this building, like I said, about maybe a little over a year ago, but we have been in operation for a long time, as are many little church shelters, which now this work has outgrown those.
Mm-hmm.
And then when COVID came, a lot of them had to shut down. A lot of their volunteers were no longer able to help, and so for one reason or another. So things change.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same work, and it's the same people. We just adapt to adjust to people's needs and to the needs of the moment.
And this shelter is here in Las Cruces, is in the old Armory building.
Correct. It's an old training center for the National Guard.
How many people on average have been coming through your doors and spending the night here?
So it's ticking up a little bit. Let me just pull up today. I get a message every morning. We get notice of how many we're going to be getting up during the day. So let me see what today is. That'd be the best way to show it. We're running over 200. We're running over 200 every day.
Mm-hmm.
About 225 today. 256.
256.
So, yeah. So we're ticking up.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And what's your capacity?
We have a capacity to do probably another 100, 150 more. Now, in this building itself, no, because you come out here at 6 o'clock, 7 at night, as soon as dinner's over with and we start putting out cots, you couldn't throw a dime on this place. Mm-hmm. Hit the floor. We've got cots room, you know, wall to wall. And then we also are limited by the fire marshal's, you know, laws too. And we are trying to be good citizens in that. But we do put people in area hotels if we need to do that. So we can tick up if we need to.
You have some big white tents in the back. Do people ever have to sleep in those tents?
No, okay. We do not use those. Those are just for reception.
That's a staging area.
That's a staging area when people come off to talk to them. We first set those tents up, and that was when we were in another hotel before we were able to get this building. That was during COVID when we set those up, and we were testing everybody for COVID, wearing what I called the astronaut suits and, you know, doing the whole thing. So that was back in 2021 until we came over here in 2022, and the public health orders began to diminish a little bit, and then were taken off. So, but that's when we were testing everybody for COVID and then segregating them out, and the state was handling the positives in the hotel.
Mm-hmm. COVID was really a challenge, and you maintained business and
we did.
Caring for people in this shelter even during COVID.
We did, and I'm quite proud of the way that we did that. I think we did a good job. And we never had to shut down because we had an outbreak. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there would be staff every now and then that would get it, but it wouldn't be a spread. And it would, when you looked at their schedule, most of them had been off and had been somewhere else, and so they couldn't have got it from us. Mm-hmm. So we have good public health practices. The state of New Mexico Department of Health has been our best friend all the way along. I worked with them for several years, quit my job to do this full time, and still maintain those relationships. And so they have been there and are to this day. That's why I have volunteer medical personnel right now, is through the state helping me with the volunteer process. So I think we did a good job, and we cared well for those who were positive and had great collaboration with the state with making sure those folks were quarantined off in a hotel, and the state provided nurses and nurse practitioners for their care. And then we would provide some food and snacks and clothes and check on those folks and make sure they were doing okay, mm-hmm. and medicines and stuff for them too. So good collaborations.
Give us a picture of what it's like when an asylee is brought here to the shelter. Walk us through what that might be like for an individual.
Okay. Sure, I'll do that. And it can change a little bit, just depending on some policies and stuff, but this is the way it is as of today. So the one thing that's very, that you can count on is things change. So that's our job to adapt. So these folks that are coming to us, we actually now have vans and a shuttle, and we go down to the port of entry and receive them as they're coming out. These are people who have appointments. Mm-hmm. If people remember when they set up the CBP One app where people can register and request an appointment to present themselves at the border, and they get an appointment, that's been fraught with frustration, but it's working much better now. And so the folks that you see wandering around here today, they've all come through that method. So they have an appointment early this morning. These people hit the border, you know, and presented themselves, started that process within the port of entry in the area of processing folks, went through their biometric exams, their backgrounds, fingerprinting, facial recognition, all of that, had a short conversation probably on a TV screen with some legal person that listened to their story enough to say they have enough that they can present that they need to come in and have a right to have their case adjudicated. And so they may have been in there. That takes several hours that they're mm-hmm. inside there. So when they come out of that, we're on the outside with our vans, and we're there with sandwiches and help for them. So we collaborate really closely with the federal officials in this regard. During when the weather's really hot, we've had rented a bus with air conditioning on it to get them out of this heat. We've got a couple of storefronts that we put people in for cooling stations and just, you know, make sure they're okay. And we offer them, do you need help traveling? Some of them, they've already got their tickets. They're ready to just go to the airport or the bus station. But those who do request help and request to come, we bring them here. So by the time they get to us, they've had a long day. Mm-hmm. They've had a really and stressful day, mm-hmm. very stressful day. And so they come to us, and we get off the bus, and we have the little tents out here. So we'll just take everybody and have a little orientation with them, telling them things just as simple as, welcome, we're glad you're here. You are no longer you are not in custody, because this is a National Guard training center, so you have wires and concertina wires and big fences, and we look like an institution. Mm-hmm. So we start from the beginning intentionally disarming that, and, you know, helping them understand that that they're our guests and they're free to leave anytime they want to, but we hope they'll stay and let us help them get on their way. Mm-hmm. Cut their bracelets off, any identification that they've had, the little plastic bracelets, and as a symbol of you're no longer a number in a federal system. You know, you are a person. We do send medical staff out to the tent, and everybody here that works with them is also trained to do that visual watching for the one that's closest, that needs our attention right now medically. Because that can happen. It has happened. It doesn't happen frequently, but it does happen that we just need to take somebody to the hospital when they get off the bus. But it's been a while since we've had it that severe. So we'll, have a chat with them. We'll walk them through the process. We'll walk them through the house rules. because we do have house rules, just like you go to a hotel or you go to a camp or you go anywhere. There are house rules so that we can keep order and for the protection of everybody. The difference in when he was coming in now since the CBP One app and those that came in before, these people have not been detained in our federal detention centers up until that app came effective and we could get them. They were staying in Mexico in shelters or on the street or with renting little places. It may have been there several months or even a year before they had an opportunity to come across. They come with their medicine. They come with their clothes. They come with their bags, and which is different. Mm-hmm. And so we explained to them that we do provide medical services if they would like some. We're happy to help to take care of any essential medical needs. Some of them are out of their medicine or have lost their medicine or people get sick. You know? Mm-hmm. And so all of the above, everything that you can think of that happens in your family, you know, happens in their families too. Mm-hmm. Overall, this is a very healthy population. They've made an arduous journey and they survived. Many didn't. The pathways along the Darien Gap are full of bodies of people who didn't survive this trip. So they've been able to survive mentally and physically, and then they've come through Mexico and all of the dangers and toils and scares along the way, and then they've hung out in Juarez for a while. So they've been through a lot, but they're strong overall, good constitution, and very resilient. The percentage of people that we'll see out of a group that comes is between 6 and 8%, just depending on if there's, you know, summer colds or whatever, flu or whatever, but very low incidence of people who actually interact with our medical system. Most people are just ready to go and they don't need us. Mm-hmm. Babies do get born and things do happen just like everywhere else in everybody's family. Life moves on. You know, we try to make sure we're here to help that process. We just, our goal as the medical unit and as the shelter as a whole is that, because travel's the main thing when they get here. They just want to travel. They have done all this journey and they just want on that last little ride to get where they're going. So we don't want to interfere with that unless it's absolutely necessary for their safety or the safety of those around them. We try not to do anything that would interfere with that unless it's absolutely necessary. We make about 500 sandwiches a day here, mm-hmm. just to go out in the bags.
Yes.
It's not what they eat while they're here. We serve them food here, but these are what we call go bags. It may be peanut butter sandwich, something that won't spoil, a little bag of chips or something, and a little coloring book or something for the kids, just something for them to carry along their way, and water bottles. Can you just imagine being in an airport for the first time, and everything's in a different language, and our airport system here is full of security, and go to this here, and TSA, and all of this confusion, and their fear, and exhaustion, and overwhelming, and so we try to do everything we can to lessen that burden,
mm-hmm.
and so one of those things is we try to hand them enough food in the go bags that they can make it to their destination and not have to worry about trying to buy something at, you know, in the airport or whatever, and they may not have money to do that either.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to do little things that make a big impact, mm-hmm. and I think that probably summarizes what we do. It's not that we do giant things. We do little things that are strategic and very important that helps make that journey safe and efficient for them.
For over 1,000 people a week.
Yes.
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 Absolutely.
Kudos.
Yes. We'll run about 1,400 to 1,500 people a week through here. And then we're just one shelter.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Just that begin to restore their dignity, their humanity. We just have kind of rules that we operate under. We use people's name. We give them a smile. We look at them. We reassure them. We love to play with the babies and talk to the kids. And what mama doesn't want somebody to look at their kid and say, "Aren't you beautiful?"
Mm-hmm.
That's universal.
Yeah.
And just those things that help them understand that we're here to serve them. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist because of them. And it's not infrequent at all that I'll say, "We've been waiting for you.
Aww.
We've just been waiting for you to come. We knew you were coming. We just didn't know who you were yet." So that they know that we are wanted and they're appreciated. And just being able to say, "Bienvenido, bienvenido,
welcome." Welcome.
Has anybody said that to them before? And I've had so many people say, you're the first person who's been nice to me.